Right. Well, we'll go back just over what's been happening in the US over this past week, and it's a story of the data just starting to show the beginnings of a powerful lift again in economic activity after the dip that we got running through Q4. The Q4 dip was largely down to, you know, all that uncertainty around the US election, but apart, and you know, what that might mean for the fiscal stimulus programs too. But the other part of it, you know, obviously, was the pandemic, which is now receding quite fast in the United States with you know, the vaccination program starting to run quite fast in the US. And we're starting to see a little bit of reflection of that in some of the data, where we're getting some, you know, much stronger readings relative to those slightly softer readings we saw through much of Q4. The key one, really, that came out last week was January retail sales. Every month through Q4, retail sales in the US had a negative sign on the front of them. Yeah, that was compared with the quarter before, where they were very, very strong. And so we've broken that. In January, retail sales, which the market thought would rise by 1%, rose by 5.3%. And core retail sales in the United States, which the market thought would rise by 1%, rose by 5.9%. So, yeah, that's a very strong rebound. And where we'll see what allowed that to happen, we'll see it in data that comes out later this week. It'll be the personal income data for the month of January. It was some of those income support programs from not obviously the latest $1.9 trillion fiscal package, but that got stymied in the $4 trillion of the package that was there before, which then started to flow. You know, what we're expecting to see with personal income data, for 1 month, household personal income probably lifted 9.9%. That's what the market expects in the figure that comes out later this week. And that won't be the only one, because then you've got the $1.9 trillion coming through with all that's based off the back of that. So you're going to see a series of these very, very big monthly increases in personal income in the United States. And, you know, that is giving the ability to be able to really start to kickstart this spending, together with the pandemic starting to recede. You know, restrictions inevitably will then start to lift in many parts of the U.S. on the back of that. So not surprisingly, market expectations about the U.S. economy are really starting to lift now. That's both in private sector and also in official forecasts. And what's helping it to lift is, you know, that we've got probably one of the more extended sweet spots for the U.S. economy that anybody's ever seen in their working careers. And why is that so? Because the central banks are still sitting on the sidelines, and governments everywhere are still trying to spend more if they can. And so, yeah, that won't stop until you get some central bank blinking. So that's the core that's underpinning all of this. And where it's reinforced in some of those numbers that came out last week, housing right at the leading edge. We had National Association of Home Builders Index. At one point there, we got over 90 on that. We came back in the late months of last year to 83s running into January this year. They thought it would stay around 83. It's actually edged up again to 84. So it's just starting to show that signs of picking up again. Housing permits right at the leading edge of economic activity. These have been strong almost throughout. And the market thought that we were due for a bit of a pullback in January for housing permits. It had an expectation of minus 1.4%. We got an increase of 10.4%, one of the strongest increases, not the increases we've ever seen for housing permits. So, you know, a leading sign there that things are going to pick up with a vengeance. It's not in everything. So some of the lagging indicators, you know, relating to employment, for example, which is always a lagging indicator of when things change. We haven't had any more employment data, but we had the initial jobless claims, and these, if anything, have been getting a bit high over the last few weeks. In other words, quite soft. And, you know, there was no exception for the most recent weekly reading, where it went up to 861,000 from 848,000. But just other indications of how things are just improving a bit in the US. We've also had some February survey data. And these are regional indicators relating to relating to manufacturing activity. The first of these was the New York State one, and that came out at the very beginning of last week, and it went from plus 3.5. The market thought it might get up to plus 6. It got up to plus 12.1, so it was almost double what the market was expecting. We also had the Philadelphia Fed survey, which that part's been doing very, very well down that part of the United States as far as manufacturing is concerned. And it was already at a very strong plus 26.5 for the month of January. Market thought it'd settle back perhaps to 20. It settled back a touch, but to plus 23.1, that's still a very, very strong reading. And we got February manufacturing PMIs and services sector PMIs came out, and they were holding up pretty well. The manufacturing PMI did settle back a bit to 58.5 from 59.2, but the services sector PMI actually improved against expectations to 58.9 from 58.3. Something else that was starting to bother the market last week, well, the economy is starting to roar. Then at some point inflation is going to come back, and yeah, we have seen over this last week or two quite a deal of upward pressure on longer term bond yields in the United States and also here in Australia for that matter too. So everybody's just starting to watch inflation indicators, and one which stirred the pot a bit was the producer price index that came out for the month of January in the United States. Market thought that, you know, these month-on-month would be round about 0.4% for the headline producer price index and 0.3% for the core reading, taking out the volatile items. We got 1.3% and 1.2%, so that's jumped producer prices from 0.8% to 1.7% year-on-year, and the core PPI from 1.2% to 2%. Now, that's not necessarily an inflation problem. We also heard from Jerome Powell through the course of last week, and he's adamant. You know, he's not even thinking about starting to tighten monetary policy, and he sees no concerns with inflation at all. But you know, the market's just starting to challenge that a bit, where you're seeing this steepening up of yield curves, particularly the longer-term interest rates starting to reflect what you normally expect when you start to get some of these stronger economic readings coming through. Through the course of this week in the United States, we'll get a bit more data relating to housing. We've got January new home sales coming out on Wednesday. They're likely to be strong, up another 2.1%, the market thinks, after being up 1.6% year-on-year. We've got durable goods orders coming out. They are likely to be strong as well. The market, businesses are starting to invest in the United States, and that's reflecting in durable goods orders. So the market's looking for a 1.1% month-on-month increase in those when they come out on Thursday, relative to a 0.5% increase the month before. And I mentioned before, we get those personal income, personal spending readings coming out for January right at the end of the week, and they will be very strong. January personal income, market expects plus 9.9% month on month. That was after plus 0.6% month on month the month before. And personal spending, they're expecting to see that surge 2.5% month on month. So some strongish readings coming through on those particular areas. We also get Powell testifying, doing semi-annual testimony. We've read the first version of this, and he hasn't blinked at all. You know, he's very much we're still a long, long way from the Fed starting to think about taking away the punch bowl and starting to think about higher interest rates. In fact, his comments on that are a repeat of what he said before. Not only are we not thinking about starting to lift interest rates, we're not even in the early stages of thinking to start thinking about lifting interest rates. So it's when you start to see some nuancing of that sort of commentary that perhaps you start to see the beginnings of the end of this sweet spot that we're running through at the moment. But for the moment, it looks very, very protracted because you've got a lot of power running behind these lifts which are running through various economies that's going to be reinforced as vaccination takes care of the virus. With all that pent-up saving that initially came to households and businesses starting to be spent. China has been almost a non-event for this past week because they've had their Lunar New Year holidays. This week in China, we've only got one stat comes out on Tuesday. That's January house prices, and that they've been rising modestly. They're up 3.8% year on year, but it's not a figure that's going to make much difference. So it's going to be quiet from those leads from China over the course of this week. In Australia last week, we had the RBA minutes, we also had employment data, and we had January retail sales, a preliminary reading of that. We also, at the very beginning of the week, had December Housing Industry Association new home sales, and you know, these have been volatile depending on whether you've got some programs running off or not. Back in November, we had a 91.8% month-on-month lift, and the house sales just went, new home sales just went into the stratosphere. Unsurprisingly, with the completion of one or two of the programs, the government's programs, that came back by 69.4%, but still overall very strong for the 2 months. And you can still see it running very powerfully through the price action and the auction clearance rates that we saw over the course of the last weekend, where both Melbourne and Sydney well up in the 80s for auction clearance rates, and a great deal of price pressure starting to show in houses in both cities. And that looks mild compared with what's going on in the regions. Regional house prices are just going ballistic at the moment around the country. We had the employment data came through. It wasn't quite as strong as the market expected in terms of the employment read. Market thought we might get another 40,000 increase in jobs. We've got 29,100. Having said that, it was very strong as far as full-time employment went. That was up 59,000. The participation rate edged back from the record high of 66.2% to 66.1%, but the unemployment rate fell more than expected, down to 6.4% from 6.6%. So overall, still a pretty strong number running through as far as the labour market is concerned. When I say strong, it's relative in this cycle of recovery. Obviously, if you went back pre-COVID, we were down in the fives for the unemployment rate. Well, we're getting there mighty quick, and quicker still than official forecasts, which keep on being revised upwards. We had preliminary January retail sales, not quite as strong as some of the indications we expected. They're up 0.6%, but they're still up over 10% year on year. That followed the 4.2% reduction going back to the month of December, but obviously a pretty strong lead running into the first part of the new year. So it's starting to show some signs of lifting again. Australia this week, we'll get some preliminary January trade numbers coming out on Tuesday. These still look reasonably good, particularly on the export side. So looking for a goods trade surplus off the back of these numbers, which is still $5 or $6 billion on a month-on-month basis, so still pretty strong as far as preliminary January trade is concerned. We get the softer one, and the one that's keeping the Reserve Bank at bay, which is the wage price index for the fourth quarter. Wages are taking a long time before they start to lift, which is not surprising. And as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned, they're going to take years before they really pick up any momentum, which is why they feel they can afford to leave monetary policy really easy for a very protracted period of time. So the Q4 wage price index is expected to lift 0.3% month on month. That would actually reduce the annual rate of change in wages to 1.1% from 1.4%, a record low for the annual change in wages, barely running above the inflation rate. So, that is the soft part which allows the Reserve Bank to continue to keep ultra-easy monetary conditions, even though you've got signs that the economy is starting to pick up. Also on Wednesday, we'll get fourth quarter construction work done. This should show a lift for this quarter, if nothing something else. Residential construction work is really starting to motor. So the market's looking for a 1% lift on that compared with a 2.6% fall going back to Q3. And we follow it with the Q4 private new capital expenditure numbers, which come out on Thursday. And here we get expectations too for the next financial year. But as far as the actuals for Q4 are concerned, the market thinks this will lift about 0.4%. This has been down several quarters in a row now. Going back to Q3, you know, this is, again, one of those softer spots where businesses really aren't investing yet. But some of the things which are interesting inside business investment spending at the moment, mining investment spending on the earlier figures has fallen so far, it's barely down to depreciation change. That's bound to change, and bound to see some lift before long. So it's not long before we get surprisingly strong private new CapEx reading. It could be this Q4 one, and certainly on market expectation, which is pretty small at plus 0.4%, there's quite a bit of upside risks with that number when it comes out, which in turn leads into the Q4 GDP number, which comes out in early March. The expectations, probably expecting to see those expectations lift a bit too, relative to where they were for the previous financial year, probably up about 5%. And then on Friday, we get credit data coming out for the most recent month of January. This is starting to lift, and it's lifting largely on housing credit. Housing finance commitments have been lifting strongly for several months now, and it's starting to feed into the stock of housing credit, because this is a stock number. And so it has been lifting 0.3%, 0.4% in the housing component over the last couple of months. It would not surprise to see that lift a bit further. At the moment, the market thinks that we'll get total credit lifting about 0.3% month on month, which actually is something of an acceleration relative to where we were going back to the middle part of last year. But at some point, we're going to get some surprises here on the upside as housing credit starts to lift that figure. In Europe last week, there was a fair bit of data. We had industrial production, which was still quite weak for December, down 1.6% after being up 2.6% the month before. We're getting some very strong trade numbers out of Europe, and this is quite common to many places, actually, that this is one of the signals that the global economy really is starting to motor again. The trade numbers have been good just about everywhere. December international trade balance for Europe was expected to go sideways-ish, around 25 billion euro. It lifted from 25.7 billion euro and the trade surplus in November to 29.2 on exceptional export growth. And it's particularly starting to run out of Germany, which is one of the key higher-end manufacturers of the world, and starting to lift very, very strongly through there. So another one of these signs of economic activity starting to run. Another one is as businesses in Europe start to look forward. And this is the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey, you know, what they feel about the economy. This one had a big lift for the month of February. It's gone up from 58.3 to 69.6. Now, that means that, you know, businesses are getting a lot more optimistic in Europe about how the economy can pick up. This might be partly related to the beginnings of the vaccinations rolling out, so the beginnings of the end of the pandemic and the restrictions that go with it. Obviously, we've had fiscal stimulus programs in Europe. We had the ECB talking through the course of the week, talking about how they're going to keep monetary policy very, very easy to support fiscal spending. This optimism about 2021 is really growing in just about everybody's forecasts. The important part about the forecasts which are coming through, it doesn't matter what region you look at in the world, including our own here in Australia, everybody thinks now that the second half of 2021 is just going to go ballistic. It's down the track, but everybody's expecting these numbers to really start to reinforce as that huge amount of stimulus that's come through really gains a lot of traction. This is where I've mentioned it many times before, but yeah, you get the odd dip, but the least line of resistance for risk assets for the time being is still upwards. The canary in the coal mine is what happens to interest rates, and watching that flip up in longer term bond yields around the world. But as sure as night follows day, I'd almost be buying those high yields now, because basically central banks will hit that at some point. And they won't announce it in advance, it'll just hit him. At some point you'll see some of those longer term yields just taking a bit of a breather. Just returning to those European numbers too, manufacturing PMI still lifting in Europe, much more than expected. It went from 54.8 to 57.7. Market thought it'd be 54. That's for February. So manufacturers are really starting to lift in Europe again. The services sector taking longer because they've had restrictions for longer there. So that settled back a bit to 44.7 from 45.4. Not much out of Europe this week except for business and consumer confidence coming out. This is the February reading. It comes out on Thursday. They're expecting that to lift to 92 from 91.5. But broadly speaking, it's that story of, we've been through the softish patch for some economies going through Q4. The January-February data is coming through. It's pointing to the early stages of this very, very powerful lift in economic growth that just about most forecasters are expecting now for 2021. If potential interruptions, you need a genuine stage left to interrupt it. The most likely area this will come from is when you get a central bank breaking ranks about concern about inflation. And there's not one around the world which is showing signs of breaking ranks at the moment. So that's what's keeping things running for the time being.